Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup, man. Having a great time on a hump day. The guy that's always on the hustle. Husker Online's Robin Washit. Robin, what's good, my friend?
What's up? I just had to break up a little kid tea party with the neighbors. So things went well.
Did they? Yeah, you have full, full experience. Usually those don't turn out well.
Yeah, I mean, usually when you say you need to stop having fun, it usually is a pretty dramatic turn, but, you know, kids handled it well. Yeah.
Wait till they get older and get big voices. They'll tell you why it's not, why you're breaking up their fun.
And how you're ruining their lives.
Yeah. Hey, I want to, believe me, I have a 14-year-old. We ruin everybody's life. So, the news broke this morning, and obviously Husker related, because anytime there is a transfer out of Nebraska, for some reason we continue to follow them. Why we just don't knock and be done with them. But Luke McCaffrey spent 27 minutes at Louisville, decided and found out he didn't like to compete. It's not going to be the starter. Going to go find a place where he can start. Surprise you?
In a sense.
Robin, are you there?
Are you there? Did your kids cut your cord because you broke up the tea party?
Robin.
He's in the kitchen, stuck in the kitchen. We can't find him. Let's try to...
the line's not dead. You hear
it's
this?
Not dead. I hear him still on. He can hear us, by the way, I think. Probably really? Yelling at us right now.
All right.
Let's just try to hang up. We'll call him back. Boy, his kids must be... They sabotaged him. They're like, oh, you're going to break up my tea party. Watch this.
That's exactly what it was.
It was like the Chucky doll came in and just like, ah. He might not have known it. But when he answered the phone, I'm going to ask him this. He might not have known this happened to him. Bring him back on. Robin, you there?
Yeah.
All right. So I think what happened to you was you got sabotaged. You got backstabbed. You didn't know that your shoes were tied after breaking up the tea party.
Yeah. I clearly, this is some sort of evil plot to get back at me. But no, I just got so fired up about the Luke stuff that I had to hang up on you. But no. Yeah. Long story short, the surprising part is the timing and, you know, the fact that it only took him a week to realize that he made the wrong decision. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, his dad's coaching in Northern Colorado. Maybe that's where he needs to go to actually have a shot to compete for a starting quarterback job, because, I mean, I just don't see it at the Power 5 level. If he wants to be a quarterback, he's a good enough athlete to play a skill position spot. But as far as being a quarterback, doesn't have the arm strength, doesn't have the field presence, in my opinion, to play at that level, at that position. And clearly, I think he's learning the hard way at a couple different spots now that that's the case.
A couple good tweets come in before I ask you the next question. Justin says, maybe McCaffrey can try Wesleyan. At least he's familiar with Lincoln.
Yeah, there you go. It'd be a seamless transition. Yeah. He would do really well. In
Nebraska. Yeah, another one said, I think Robin has entered the portal because that's why he can't hear you. Is that what it is? You go, whoop. You're gone.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. It's basically just like a black hole, and you just like get sucked into it.
Yeah. So, hey, going back to that, and more of a big picture thing, I'm not surprised. I thought he might get a chance to go to Louisville, compete, maybe didn't like it, could leave after a year, whatever the case is. But I think overall what surprised me the most is for these kids, and I'm thinking, you know, focus just on McCaffrey, is the team around him. And the advice they get, you have Ed McCaffrey, you have Chris, I don't know if he talked to all these, but like, are you surprised that maybe some of the advice he's getting from this, you know, from his
team?
Yeah.
I mean, whoever keeps telling him that he's a Power 5 quarterback needs
it's
to
crazy.
Stop, because it's not working. And they're doing him a disservice to where, you know, he's going to be once again going into a brand new situation, having to start from scratch. And it's, you know, I just don't see where he's going to accomplish that goal. And again, like, from a pure football talent standpoint, he's good enough. He is clearly a Power 5 level player, but he's not a quarterback. And, you know, whether it's his dad or his, well, people around him or whatever that keep on insisting that he needs to pursue his goal of being a Power 5 quarterback, I mean, I think that they're going to keep his career from ever getting off the ground because he's just not going to get that opportunity.
You know, also, last one, and we'll get off the McCaffrey stuff. We'll get to really cool stuff
in
basketball.
I have McCaffrey's question.
Oh, you do. You do.
Too.
I'll go first. But do you think nationally now, not just for McCaffrey, like, I believe that when you do this type of stuff and the verbiage comes out, essentially, when I read the story, Zinchi said, like, he didn't want to compete. Nationally, that's going to hurt him, right?
You think. I mean, anytime you jump from a school and leave after a week of summer workouts, that's going to be a red flag on you. And, you know, what may have been opportunities your first time around aren't going to be there because, you know, the writing's on the wall that if you're not happy immediately, you're going to leave. And that's a stigma that a lot of coaches just aren't going to want to deal with, regardless of talent. So it's, you're putting yourself in a pretty difficult spot if that's the MO you want to put out there about yourself. And, you know, like I said, well, we'll see kind of what this eventually leads for him. But like I said, I still don't think that he's going to get what he wants. And I think this decision is ultimately going to hurt his chances even more than they already were. And they were slim to begin with.
Yeah, Robin, now that we've had a few months, you know, to reflect and look back on it, back at the Northwestern game, you know, that was the game McCaffrey started, I believe. And, you know, why do you think that happened? Was it because Martinez wasn't performing, or do you think there was a little pressure in there to play him?
Yeah, so Martinez got pulled against Northwestern,
gotcha.
I believe. And then Luke started the next game with Penn State, or I can't remember which one it was.
Wasn't it Illinois?
Yeah. And it was just a.
His first pass was
awful
in that game.
You know, it's funny because Adrian struggled against Northwestern, but. Turns out everyone struggled against Northwestern last year because they have a really good defense. And so, you know, that was probably a little bit of getting caught up in the moment by Nebraska to where, you know, the pressure to win kind of became too much for them. And they decided to make a dramatic move like that, which listening to guys like Mario Verduzco talk after the fact seemed like something that really wasn't a consensus decision, where a lot of people had some real hesitation to do that. You know, in my opinion, if Adrian starts against Illinois, they beat Illinois because he always killed Illinois. Like, for whatever reason, Adrian could carve up that Tampa 2 defense. And, you know, clearly Luke McCaffrey was not nearly good enough, and they lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. So I think it's a deal where I think that was a reflection of Frost and the staff maybe feeling the pressure a little bit to try to provide a spark to a team that, you know, just needed all the help it could get. The offense just was kind of stuck in the mud a little bit, but, you know, they were basing that decision off playing Ohio State and Northwestern, you know, the two teams that played in the Big Ten Championship. So that's, you know, it's one of those deals where I think as fans, you need to kind of take a step back when you're caught up in the heat of the moment and, you know, looking at a small sample size and take a step back and look at the big picture that, you know, big decisions like that, you know, sometimes can end up costing you more than they can help you, and clearly that was one of those instances.
We're speaking to Robin Washington, HuskerOnline.com, flipping this thing over to basketball, Husker ball right now. It looks like all the visitors we had just the greatest time ever in Lincoln. Update us on that, because Trout had good things to say. I'm interested, I mean, because you've talked about this, and this program's been about this since Hoiberg got here. The relationships, all the relationships now, you know, thinking about, you have the McGowan's brothers. The Wilchers are very tight. They're very tight, man. They're about as close of brothers as you can get.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe Nebraska can get Lightning to strike twice there, where you get a really good player to come in as a transfer and then double down on it with a five-star younger brother. It's you know, pretty crazy to think that could happen twice, but, you know, based off reading the tea leaves a little bit, it seems like that is a very much a possibility that you know, Simeon Wilcher, who, for those who don't know, is the number 8 overall player in the 2023 class, a five-star point guard out of New Jersey. Younger brother of Xavier transfer CJ Wilcher. Yeah, they're extremely close. I mean, they have a really, really tight brotherly sibling bond that goes a long way, enough to where the idea of them playing together at the next level in college is a legitimate thing for them that, you know, they've been thinking a lot about and already have been talking a lot about. And they got him on an unofficial here to, as the Wiltshire family helped CJ move into campus. And by all accounts, Simeon loved every bit of it. And the family, they already love Nebraska. They loved it enough to send CJ there. And now they kind of were able to reaffirm those feelings by actually getting to see the campus and facilities and, you know, meet the players and coaches in person for the first time. I mean, Nebraska probably couldn't be in a much better spot right now. And again, it's a 2023 recruit, so there's still a lot of time left before he makes the decision. And he's going to take a lot more visits and see a lot of different things being a top 10 player in the country. But as it stands right now, I mean, Nebraska is, you know, in as good a position as any program on Simeon Wiltshire's recruitment. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, his brother playing there. But even more, it goes down to the family loving Nebraska and the program as much as they do, to where they have no hesitations or reservations about sending one and even both of their kids to Lincoln to play for Fred Hoiberg. So that's a real deal and something definitely to keep a close eye on over the next couple cycles.
Hey, it wasn't they got the Big Red Blitz going on coming up for football, you know, and all the coaches get to go out. It wasn't by design that Hoiberg is going to Grand Island, was it?
You know, I didn't even put two and two together on that. But
about that?
You know, it may very well have been.
Why is Coach Hoiberg going to be in Grand Island? Weird.
Yeah, maybe they can get somebody to come listen to him talk. Yeah, we'll see.
Weird. An unofficial.
That's funny. I didn't even put two and two together on that. That's, you know what? It's would not surprise me, given the lengths the staff has gone to recruiting, if that was not by design, where Fred, like, went to the people putting that together and like, hey, why don't you schedule group eight or whatever he is to head out to maybe Grand Island for an afternoon.
He walked in and went, I don't care where you guys are going, I'm going to Grand Island.
Yeah, but we actually had Will Bolt going there. Sorry, Will.
Nope.
You know what?
Norfolk. Norfolk, I got GI. I can go by myself.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, literally, I'll just go there. Like, I don't even have to talk.
We're talking to Robin Washit. On this basketball topic, you tweeted out last week about the NCAA, granting to allow basketball instruction by non-coaching staff members for the summer. You know, we saw McGowan's is in town finally, and, you know, we're getting players back. What does this mean for Nebraska? Because now Doc Sather, that means he can help out during the summer, right?
Yeah, Doc and, other members of their staff, like, you know, Buzzy Carruthers and graduate assistants, and basically it's a deal where they can essentially run full team workouts without needing to have an assistant coach there to organize it. And so that's a real luxury. You know, it's one of those deals that, why did it take so long for that to happen? You know, you're asking coaches to handle 100% of the on the road recruiting, and then also handle 100% of the on campus workouts. Like, you know, it's almost a disservice to the players currently on the roster, you know, because they're missing out on instruction time and workout time that they would get if their coaches were able to be on campus, which in a normal recruiting year, they wouldn't be. So, yeah, I mean, this shows kind of the importance of diversifying a coaching staff the way that Nebraska and many other schools have by coming up with new positions on a staff, like what they're doing with Doc Sadler and, the special assistant to the head coach role. And I think they're adding another graduate assistant position on the staff. So that's another player that, I mean, you can go bring in a former player or whoever you want in that role that can give you another voice that can work with your guys, especially during these spring summer months when your full-time staff is in theory going on the road. So it's one of those deals where the NCAA is finally catching up and doing the things that they should have done a long time ago, but better late than never.
Hey, Robin, do you think in this, because it's such a unique, the way the dead period ended, it was way too long, and do you think that the words patience and persistence is how we're going to win this battle? Because like you mentioned, all these kids are going to take visits. They're all going to, like, because they haven't been to visit places. Do you think that's where the Nebraska has to be in, like, every other college, like patience and persistence based on knowing if they're going to get a commitment or not?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a unique situation that you have kids coming to campus who haven't been on a visit in 15 months. And so to expect them to give a commitment after one official visit, like, you know, that's just not fair to them. I mean, they've missed out on an entire year of the recruiting process. And going on visits is fun. It's a cool experience. You get a red carpet treatment to go on a free trip somewhere and go see a cool sporting event or whatever it may be, and to not take advantage of that, you know, you're kind of cheating yourself a little bit. So, I mean, Nebraska understands that. I mean, these kids that obviously this last weekend had a couple official visitors, and some people are saying, are we going to get a commitment? Well, probably not. I mean, maybe internally the kids are like, wow, I love Nebraska, I want to go there, but they're going to hold off and wait until they actually get a chance to take some visits and see some places and experience some cool things, because, you know, why wouldn't you? If I'm a parent of a player, I am forcing my kid to take every one of his official visits, especially
Absolutely.
Coming off the long and frustrating dead period that we just had.
We're talking to Robin Washington. Have you heard anything about the schedule updates? You know, I know we got Big Ten games announced and a few non-con games, the K-State game, but have you heard anything about any developments about some games getting scheduled?
Yeah, so right now they have Idaho State, Kennesaw State, like you mentioned, Kansas State at home, Creighton at home, the Big Ten ACC tournament or challenge, and the Creighton game is going to be part of the Gavitt games this year, which is kind of boring, you know, because Nebraska, I mean, like they played St. John's and that before, like, so they're basically Nebraska and Creighton will always be their own Gavitt game opponent, which is kind of silly in my mind, but so that will constitute that game, and then I would anticipate they're going to play, you know, some sort of neutral site, like multi-team event or non-conference game that will be added to that, and then they'll probably fill out the rest of the games with, you know, a couple more bye games that can hopefully stock up some wins going into Big Ten play. But right now, that's, I think, the extent of the non-con schedule, and then, you know, obviously Big Ten play. They have the opponents and locations of the games, but no dates have been set just yet. But I would imagine by August, you'll see the full schedule fully in place. And I think the non-con will be finalized relatively soon. I mean, you're already seeing a bunch of schools that are releasing, like Kansas just put out their non-con schedule. So those are starting to get finalized. I think it's just a matter of locking down a couple more games and then filling out the rest of those bye games.
Hey, Robin, flipping over, a few more minutes left here, man. Appreciate your time. The baseball team goes down, takes number one Arkansas to the brink, man. What can you say about this team and what Will Bolt has done? Because I think it's phenomenal. Like, a guy to come in, I mean, obviously history here, played here, all that good stuff. He's a proven winner. But the way he got this team to play, the gritty, not pretty, the don't care. Because I tweeted out after the game, I said, I think this 2021 team is that team. It'll probably look back and be one of Bolt's most special teams, unless, you know, we go out and win one or something. But I think this team has paved the way. And I think the national perception after this is going to change for Nebraska baseball.
Yeah, I think the most impressive part about it was how quickly Will was able to establish the culture within the program that he wanted to establish. And he got guys to buy into that mentality that you're talking about. You know, you can put stuff on a t-shirt and have a mantra, but if guys truly don't believe it, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And I think guys actually, you know, fully bought into that, you know, we're going to play a certain brand of baseball. We're going to play it every day and we're going to win with it. And even in some really tough adversity, whether it be with the schedule or the pod play or, you know, having to go to play the best team in the country right out of the bat in postseason, you know, they didn't care. And, you know, a lot of it is just that Will Bolt toughness and mental toughness that he was able to kind of grind into these guys right away. And so that, I mean, the fact that he's been able to do this in a year that was a total disaster last season and this year being weird, I mean, that says a lot about being able to connect with players and, you know, get through to guys more so than just on the field as baseball players, but as people. Because, I mean, you got to really connect with guys to take on that type of mentality and then act it out when it comes to getting on the field. So that's probably the most impressive part about it all for me. Obviously, the season was great, but, you know, really when you look long-term, that culture is in full effect right now, and they're going to continue to recruit guys that buy into that And one, that's the hardest part. I mean, you can ask Scott Frost how difficult that is to establish. Mm-hmm. And for Will to do that this quickly, despite these circumstances, is, you know, really a hat tip to him. But as far as, you know, when you look ahead to just what the season was and what next year could be, you know, I think Nebraska definitely made a statement. I mean, they caught everybody's attention. You had national baseball writers saying that, you know, Will Bold has this thing going. And if I'm Bill Moose, I am working with Will and his agent and locking down a very lucrative deal that is going to provide a very expensive buyout that is going to make him very difficult to pull out of Lincoln, because, you know, Big 12 jobs, SEC jobs are going to open up. We've already seen a couple, and he is going to be a prime candidate because everybody else around the country saw what he did at Nebraska, and that made everyone in college baseball take notice.
Yeah, and it's obviously easy for a lot of people to still go back and get mad at Kevin Warren, you know, in the Big Ten for not allowing non-con. And, you know, you look back to all the things Kevin Warren has done and what people are thinking about him. Is there anything he can do to kind of improve his reputation, you know, the conception of fans towards Kevin Warren? Is there anything he can do? I mean, seems like that's kind of a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of it's not just him making a lot of these decisions. I mean, it's university presidents and, you know, athletic directors that have just as big of a say. So it's not like he's like some dictator that's making all of these decisions on his own, but he's the face of the conference. And when people look at Big Ten decisions, I mean, rightfully so, he's the guy that is the face of them. So, you know, maybe once things get back to normal here, the stuff will kind of start to get pushed back in the memory a little bit, but, you know, it's going to be hard. I mean, there's people around this conference, not just at Nebraska, but at other schools as well, that were very unhappy with how things played out over the past year and a half. And how do you recover from that? I don't know. I mean, because this is going to be something where, I mean, a lot of schools feel like their seasons got robbed, and, you know, they missed out on opportunities that they otherwise would have gotten. Because of these, in retrospect, questionable decisions that the conference made in all sports, whether it be you know, fumbling the football season, or you know, making Nebraska play like 27 games in 30 days in basketball, you know, and baseball, not even getting a Big Ten tournament before the season even started, even though everything was fine by the end of the year. Like, it's one of those deals where the Big Ten can't seem to get out of its own way, and it's really coming at the expense of its member schools and of its fans. And you continue to do that, you're not going to be around very long.
Robin, man, as a Giants fan, Jim Fossil passing away, unfortunately. Give me your thoughts, man, because I know you're a big Giants fan, and Fossil is one of those guys that, not by Giants fans, but sometimes as an NFL you know, fan, you forget about him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously took him to a Super Bowl and had one of my favorite NFC Championship games of all time when they absolutely trounced the Vikings 41-0 in the Meadowlands. That was, man, that's one that I still use against Vikings fans that want to talk about how terrible the Giants are. I say, yeah, remember back 21 years ago? That was cool. But you know, I mean, he's a guy that, again, probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I mean, I think 1997 or 98, he was the NFL Coach of the Year. And then, you know, that Super Bowl season with the Giants, they were sitting there at like 6-6 or something like that, or like 500, and you know, looked like they were out of the playoff race. And then he goes up there and, you know, says he's pushing all his chips to the center of the table and guaranteed that Giants are going to make the playoffs, and they made the playoffs and they won the NFC. So you know, people that remember that, you know, have fond memories of what Jim was able to do. But, you know, it goes beyond the Giants too. I mean, he was a standard in the NFC coaching circles for a long time, and you know, one of those deals, it's sad to see a guy like that go, you know, pass away like that.
Robin, one more before we get you out of here. Kind of a fun one. They've got the, you know, I alluded to the Big Red Blitz going on with all the coaches scouring around, and I've got some of the, I've got all of the groups out here. Which group would you be hanging with? Okay? Would want to. That first group, it's Bill Moose, Armon Gates, Mark Manning. Okay? They're going to be out in Alliance and Scotts Bluff.
That'd be a sneaky good one.
Okay. Let's see here. Let me give you another. I'm going to kind of give you some fun groups here. This one, it would be Group 4. You get to go North Platte and Kearney, by the way. Scott Frost, our the new assistant men's basketball coach. Nate, how do you say his last name again?
Lenzer.
Yeah, so you get those two together out in North Platte and Kearney. Or, I think this is the group I'd hang with just because of the one name. Where did it go? You get Matt Lubick, Garrett Classy, and Doc Sadler. Which group are you hanging with?
You know, I think when you consider all three coaches, I'm going to go with that first group. You know, I mean, obviously you get the cachet of the athletic director with Bill Moose, who, you know, he can be down to earth a little bit. And then Armand is the energizer bunny, so if anything gets boring, he will definitely provide a spark to keep things lively. And then Mark Manning's like one of the nicest guys ever, who, you know, will always make you feel welcome. So I think the combination of those three would probably be the best overall experience.
I failed to mention, by the way, like, I think one of the best football recruiters we've had so far is Travis Fisher. Would you agree?
I mean, this record speaks for himself.
Guess who he'll be with?
Fred.
Yeah. Huh. Brett's like, I'll go to Grand Island, and can I have Coach Fisher?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as, like, quality of information from my perspective, that's the one. I am going to that one, for one. It's funny
okay.
Because that day I'm leaving with the family to go out to Colorado for vacation. And so on the way, we're going to drive out there and then stop in Grand Island. I don't know if I'm going to stay for the whole talk, but there's like a little 15-minute interview session beforehand. I'm going to jump in on that, and I'm going to make my wife drive the rest of the way to Colorado right in the car. So it worked out pretty well.
Stop at Ollie's.
You just described the movie RV, didn't you? Is that how it's going to go down? You've never seen it?
No.
You have to watch it because it's a similar situation. They rent an RV. It's Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rent the RV, and they don't go. He works a lot. And they go on a family vacation, but for somehow, some way, the vacation is centered around a big sales pitch he has to perform.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I'm sure that I haven't actually told my wife yet that that's happening. But
she's listening, right?
It's all right. She's good. She can adjust on the fly.
That's right.
She's fine.
That's right. All right, Rob, appreciate you, man. Have a good one, man. We'll catch up soon.
Yep, sounds good. See you later.
Robin Washington right there, HuskerOnline.com. Always a pleasure, man. Just good stuff with Robin. If you don't follow him, go out there, follow at Robin Washington. Go to HuskerOnline.com. When we come back, what's trending at 10?